This is Maureen Kafkas, the Brain BS coach, here to tell you about the episode today. In this episode, I speak with Dr. Robin Tiger, who works with physicians to help them learn how to manage their own stress. We discuss how suicide has impacted her family in major ways and how unexamined trauma has led to physical, emotional, mental health issues. And if you stick with me to the end, you're going to find out exactly how she was able to resolve that and lead a happy life helping other people today. So here you go, episode 111. Stress, suicide, and mental health with Dr. Robin Tiger. Welcome to the Brain BS podcast, the podcast where thought work, emotional intelligence, and universal law come together to empower humans to cut the crap and finally master their brain BS. It is time to stop blaming everybody else for your problems and start taking responsibility for your own life and emotional state. I am your host, Maureen Kafkas, a doctor of occupational therapy, a certified life coach, and an expert on brain BS. My mission is to motivate you to learn how to live consciously and manage your mind on purpose so you can create a life free of needless suffering. Now, who does not want that? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to the Brain BS podcast. I have Dr. Robin here with me today. Dr. Robin, why don't you tell the audience what you want them to know about you and introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I'm Dr. Robin Tiger. I'm a physician, board certified in diagnostic radiology, and a stress management expert. I'm the founder of Stress-Free MD, and I love teaching other people how to relieve their own stress all by themselves.
Nice. And I saw your post today on social media. It's appropriate that we're talking on National Stress Awareness Day.
Yes. Yeah. So happy to be able to share that and share some free resources for anyone who wants to get started on their own stress relief.
Okay. So before we get into your story, I want to ask you what I ask everyone who comes on the podcast. I want you to tell me something that you thought was factual about yourself that you have come to realize now is fiction and it wasn't true. And you discovered that through the power of coaching.
Yeah. Probably that I'm not deserving, that I'm not good enough, and that other people are better than me, that there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, those are some pretty big ones, right?
Yeah, big ones.
Yeah. So, and as if people who have listened to this podcast before, or if they're listening for the first time, they're going to get a pretty good idea of what kind of thoughts that creates for somebody in their life, what kind of results come from that. So why don't we go into your story now? Before you start telling everyone though, I just want people to know that I had put in a post on social media looking for anybody who wanted to talk about suicide awareness. And this was some time ago. And then all kinds of different things happened and I got really sick with COVID. So we had to put it on the back burner. But that is the reason why Dr. Tiger responded to my request to have people come on the podcast. So I'm going to let her tell you the story from there.
Yeah, when I saw your post, it was just calling me. It's easier to say no and to just say, I'm not going to talk about this stuff. And then you think, no, I need to say yes, because suicide has actually shown up for me multiple times in my life. I'm going to say, actually, now that I think about it, at least three major times. And it's important for people to hear, you know, that just because people look okay on the outside doesn't necessarily mean they're okay on the inside, or they may not have had a story that was perfect that got them to where they are now. So when I was 7 years old, I was all of a sudden a child of a single parent because my father, who'd been suffering with manic depression, died from suicide. And for several years, he used to call me from what I thought was his work, because I thought that he was on a work trip, checking in with me. And I came to understand later that he was in a psychiatric hospital every time he was gone. Oh. And whenever he would come home, I'd say, what did you bring me? You know, and he would take me out and buy me something. So that was actually kind of the normal thing. Dad goes on a trip, he calls me, he comes home, and he takes me out and he buys me a toy. You know, because there wasn't anything for him to buy me at the psychiatric hospital, but I didn't know. Right. And so, yeah.
Can I just ask you how, like, how your mom dealt with that with you. That must have been so hard for her. And then like the secrecy around something like that would impact the energy of the whole family, right?
Yeah, I mean, my parents were young. They were in their upper 20s. My mom had three kids, all under the age of seven, me being the oldest. And I don't remember that being anything other than normal, because that was my normal.
Right.
And it was one winter day in January when I came home and I got off the bus. My babysitter was there to bring me home, walk me from the bus stop to my house. And she had my siblings with her, and the door was locked and we couldn't get in the house. And we just went next door because there were no cell phones. There was no internet. There was just, you go to your next door neighbors and you wait. And my mom came home and, you know, she brought us in the house. And it was then that we, you know, we realized that my father had died from suicide and that, you know, he had locked the door and that's why we couldn't get in the house. And so that was my very first experience with that. And I want everyone to also hear my language, died from suicide, because we frequently hear committed suicide, which is an act that has a sort of negative connotation, right? And we when we say someone dies from a heart attack, or someone dies from diabetes, or someone dies from a motor vehicle accident. So we like to think of the brain as being an organ that doesn't work properly, just like everything else. And so it sounds better and it feels better and it makes sense to use the word from, which is why I use that language.
Yeah, and I so, love that. Yeah. I think that's a really good thing to point out, because I'm guilty of that myself. But whenever I have people on the podcast, I learn more and more about language and how important it is. So it's definitely, from now on, I'm going to make the effort to say died from suicide, because mm-hmm. you're right. It does. Committing it makes it sound like the person was totally okay and in the frame of mind to do something actively on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just an organ like any other part of the body that doesn't work right. You know, something happens, you get sick. Yeah. So that was my first experience. Lots of trauma from that, as you can imagine, and lots of negative things happened in our family after that, which I don't really need to get into all of that. Fast forward, you know, I carried with me from that point the things that we talked about, right? Something's wrong with me, because why would my father do that? At the time, I didn't understand. I was seven. He must not love me. You know, why would he leave me? You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not deserving. Everyone else is better because their fathers didn't do that. Right. So I realized later on in my life that I carried all of that from that early age. It didn't stop me from going on to do what I wanted to do, was be a doctor, go to medical school, learn how to take care of other people. But I carried those thoughts with me all through my childhood, all through my education, all through college, all through med school, into practice, and so on. Instead of immediately thinking that I could totally do something and I should do something and have the confidence and I'm right where I should be. It was always, I don't know. You know, you're not going to be able to do that.
Was there an element of trying to prove yourself, that you were trying to prove your self-worth by your accomplishments and in doing what you were doing?
No, I don't think it was proving anything, because I, at age eight, 1 year later, when I was in third grade, I saw a full-size skeleton. I know that you know about the human body, and that was super exciting to me. And it was then that I knew that I wanted to be a doctor, because I said, wow, that's not a Halloween costume. Those bones are inside our body. That is so cool. I want to know more about that. So it wasn't that I was trying to prove anything. I did have goals and passions, but it was the thought work around each one of those goals that was very detrimental, and that took a lot of more push and more push and more push to make those things happen, because I didn't have the tools back then that I have now to work with those thoughts. When I got into practice, initially everything was okay. And I mentioned to you that I had a second visitation, essentially, confrontation with suicide. And over the course of several years, I had three physician colleagues die from suicide. Two overdosed and one jumped off a bridge. And in the midst of all of that happening, I started to develop lots of symptoms myself. So the picture here is I'm a practicing radiologist. I've got two adorable little kids. I have an amazing husband. I have a beautiful home. I have this job. You know, everything looks great, like I said earlier, on the outside. But I started to develop things that didn't make sense, right? I got migraine headaches and I was vomiting. I had tinnitus, which is ringing in my ears. I was very, very dizzy with vertigo just from simple head turns, really bad reflux or heartburn. My body hurt, like I couldn't even move it. It just felt so stiff, like the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz. And I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating right. I was having weird things going on with my bowels. And I developed a very scary symptom of intermittent paresthesias, which for the listeners, it means that my hands and my feet and the left side of my back would just go numb. And I thought I had some debilitating neurologic disease. And so I started going to all these different doctors for all the different things. My gums were bleeding too. It's another thing. So I saw a periodontist. I saw a neurologist. I saw a gastrointestinal doctor, right? And I had lots of imaging studies and lots of blood tests, and everything was normal. And I kept getting sicker and sicker. And then I started having some negative thoughts, worse than the thoughts that I told you about. Thoughts that started to go like, I don't really know if I want to wake up another day like this. I don't think I could take another day like this. I don't even know if I want to be here anymore. So that was my third confrontation with suicide, which was my own thoughts, which was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And so I ditched the pills and I went to a mental health care professional. That wasn't really helping. And I just started to look outside the box of medicine because I said, oh my gosh, I am heading down the same path as those who are in my life who've died.
Let me ask you a question that I should have asked before that. It's just occurred to me. When you were younger, because I know back in that time, like when somebody died, everybody just kind of didn't talk about it anymore and you moved on. Is that how it was in your family, or did you get any professional counseling or help?
I had no professional counseling. Wow. Nobody really talked about it. And actually my father's side of the family completely disowned us and I never saw them again. So I lost my father. I lost that whole side of the family. And there was so much transition at once and so much loss at once. My mom, like I said, was very young and she had three young children and she wasn't working. She was a stay-at-home mom and it was terrifying, right? And so no one talked about it though. No one talked about it. She ended up remarrying and we went on and so on, but there really wasn't much discussion. It was just like quiet.
It's just like accept reality, move on, and do not. Yeah, that happens around a lot of trauma. Back when we were growing up, or when, you know, I don't know how old you are. I don't want to put you in the same age group as me if you're not.
Probably,
It's like back in that time. Okay, so I just wanted to kind of, because that's a perfect example of what happens when you don't address those emotional and mental health issues growing up. They come back to haunt you in some fashion, and you know, some way or another. You can't just have all that stuff squashed inside you and expect to, you know, just skate through life and feel good. So, okay, so now we're back to after you started to get this like suicidal ideation because you couldn't take it anymore, then what happened?
Yeah, well, then I had to make a choice. It was like a fork in the road, right? So I envisioned myself heading down the path of my three colleagues, and I just was terrified. And I was like, okay, I believe in traditional Western medicine 100%, but I'm learning here that it's not always exactly the right thing for what you may need. The pills didn't work. The talk therapy wasn't working. Tests are all normal. What do we do? You know, what should I do? And I started to look more and more outside of medicine. I was already working out a lot, running races, staying physically fit. I was already eating a plant-based diet. So my nutrition was fine. I was healthy in that way. And I started to see more and more things out there regarding things like yoga, things like meditation. And then after that, coaching, which I thought were ridiculous, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm an athlete. I run races. I work out the gym. Like, I don't know what those people are doing over there, but I'm not doing that. But I kept seeing this advertisement for this like Yoga 101 series, which was down the road from my house. And I started to hear more and more about how people were feeling better. And I didn't want to go by myself. So I asked my neighbor, who's a nurse, and I said, "Hey, you want to go check out this class with me?" And she just kind of rolled her eyes, you know, and I rolled my eyes. And I said, "Look, it's a new year. Let's just give it a try. And if it's terrible, if it sucks, I'll take you out to dinner. We'll just have girls' night out." Right. So I remember it being a very busy day at work. I can't tell you how many biopsies I did, how many cases I read. I got home. I helped my kids with their homework, you know, made the dinner, cleaned up, got them bathed, put them in their pajamas. And it was like, had to get to this thing by 7:30 at night. I walked in like exhausted, like one eye open, questioning why I was even there. And after the first session, it was over. And I just had all of this clarity and peace and calm. And I wasn't even tired anymore. My body felt relaxed. It was just unbelievable. And I had no idea what happened. And so we're in the medical field. So our left brains start going, right? What the heck? I need to understand this physiology and anatomy. So that's what I did. I started diving into the medical literature and started pulling out my books. And I realized that what I had experienced was simply bringing homeostasis to my autonomic nervous system, that the symptoms that I was feeling that started to dissipate. And as I continued doing these practices, eventually went away, all of them, that it was simply my stress response that was on overdrive. And it was causing all of this inflammation and doing all the things it's supposed to do when there's a real emergency, except there was no emergency. It was just
okay. I want to stop you here because I think it's important to point something else out too. When something keeps happening and you keep having it come in front of you, like you kept seeing this yoga thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is like, because this is the Brain BS podcast and we're all about living consciously. And yeah. I believe that the universe gives you everything that you need in the moment, but you have to be able to see it. And yeah. It oftentimes doesn't look the way that you think it's going to. Mm-hmm. And then when we make our decisions, we'll use our mind frequently instead of like really getting in touch with our higher self and our intuition. It sounds like you got this message so many times that there was a part of you that knew, even though you were exhausted and tired in the whole day and you weren't, you just kind of knew that this is something you should do. So I just want to point that out because so many people don't follow through and do it. And the answer like doesn't look the way you think it's going to all the time.
Yeah. I kind of think of that as when you go into a store and something looks really horrible in the hanger and the person's like, "It looks different when you put it on." And you're like, "Oh, I don't know if I want to try that on, you know?" And yeah, you try it on and you're like, "That's amazing." Or like when food doesn't look so good and someone's like, "You really got to taste it. I don't know if I want to eat that." And then you taste it. It's like, "This is amazing." Right. So that's what it kind of reminds me of as you're describing it. Those are the things I was thinking about. So you're absolutely right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people suffer so much when they're getting all the answers and they think their prayers aren't being answered. So I just like to bring that up whenever I can, because you're not alone. You have everything that you need right in front of you, but it's just like, you know, law of polarity. You have to be able to see it. Okay.
Yeah.
So go
yeah.
ahead. Sorry. I just want to point out these things as we go for other people who haven't had the same success as you as yet.
Yeah. No, I think it's great that you're doing that. So, as I mentioned, I continued to go to these classes and the symptoms I described to you, the migraines, the reflux, the tinnitus, the vertigo, the pain in my body, the numbness in my hands. I mean, when I tell you that I couldn't feel the steering wheel. It would just come on and I couldn't feel the steering wheel. I couldn't feel the biopsy gun in my hand. I couldn't feel a knife as I'm cutting up vegetables. I mean, this was terrifying. Even that symptom over time went away. And I continued taking the classes. And as you know, we love knowledge, we love learning. I decided I wanted to learn more, never thinking I would teach anybody anything. This was really just for me. So I went into yoga teacher training just so that I could learn more. And it was there that I learned about the field of yoga therapy. So for people that don't know, yoga teacher training is a base level of 200 hours. And yoga therapy is at least 800 hours added to that, so it's 1,000 hours over a 3-year period where you learn more deeply the lessons in yoga and in meditation and other disciplines that are related, and then you can apply them to help people with all types of symptoms, illnesses, and diseases. So that was like doctoring in a different way. And I said that I need to do that. So after I learned to become a yoga teacher, I went on to study yoga therapy for 3 years. I went on to study meditation more deeply for 3 years. And I started integrating these tools that I had been learning in helping other people. The coaching piece was the mindset piece. So far, I've only talked about the body pretty much, right? So bringing that homeostasis to the body. But there were still some issues with thoughts that would come up. And I learned about life coaching several years later. And that was like that missing piece that brought the whole thing together. You know, how can we bring that balance to our body and actually learn to work with our thoughts as well? And so that's why I like to work from the body and the mind to create that balance. And that's what I love to teach other people as well.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how your business is set up and how it works. And, you know, is it one-on-one coaching? Is it group, or what do you do?
Well, as I mentioned, I like to have a body and mind approach. So I teach both body-based self-regulation tools to bring this balance to the nervous system so you can decrease that feeling of stress and you can feel more calm. And then we can work with your thoughts from the top down. So I call it a bottom-up and top-down approach. And the way that I do that is I created several different ways for people to learn. So some people learn better by video-based content where they're learning at a self-paced way. And so I have video-based content and courses. I work one-on-one with individuals who prefer to have me all to themselves. I also do groups, and lots of organizations and other private groups will bring me on to work with their group as a whole. And we do coaching based on whatever they need. And I have a podcast called the Stress Free MD Podcast, where I teach short, actionable tools in about 15 minutes or less, because I know how busy people are, particularly the medical community, but the world is very busy. And I like to share that way as well.
So is your business primarily online, or do you do a lot of stuff in person too?
I do both. I do both. Actually, I'm heading out to present this weekend at a conference in Texas. So I go wherever, you know, people are in need. I like to say I have multiple podiums. So I have the traditional podium where I'm in person and I've got a headset, you know, I've got a mic on and I'm standing in front of some, you know, podium with a PowerPoint behind me. Then I'm on Zoom, you know, and I do lectures just like this. Then I'm on Zoom in my home studio where actually I lead entire classes that are experiential. And then I'm outside. So I have the pleasure of teaching on a beach, teaching on a mountain, you know, teaching outside. So I love all different podiums and I pretty much go wherever people want me to go, wherever they want to learn and however they want to learn. And it's so fun and so amazing.
Wow. Well, you're living, breathing evidence that what you're doing is working. So let me ask you, this is something that I wasn't even planning to ask, but I do want to ask it because I think so many people are frustrated with the healthcare system right now since COVID.
Yeah.
And everything's changed. Even trying to get doctor's appointments is like impossible. And the physicians are so overworked right now. So I'm wondering if you have any advice, and I say this because like a couple of the doctors I've seen for various things just seem exhausted and mm-hmm. overworked. So I'm yeah. wondering what advice you have for us, the public, for how we can facilitate a little bit more love and kindness for our doctor, and maybe advice for any doctors that are listening of how they can do that for the patients.
Yeah. So whether you're a patient or whether you're a physician or whether you're a healthcare professional, we're all humans. And no matter what's happening in our worlds, the one thing we can be in control of is how we feel in any given moment. And so whether you're a patient, whether you're a doctor, it's important for us to have the tools to feel calmer, to decrease our stress response, to enable us to sleep better, to be more responsive to the person in front of us and not reactive. Right, to exercise, to eat properly, to have those social connections, right? So these are all the lifestyle medicine pieces, the pillars. I'm also lead faculty and subject matter expert in stress management for the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. And so bringing in all these pillars, no matter who you are, helps you be the healthiest, happiest version of you, right? So I think I see us all on the same plane. It's not like doctor up here, patient down here. Like, we're all humans. And so a very important missing piece is how we take care of ourselves. I was never taught it in med school. Most people that I meet were never taught it, right? So if you can learn and just start to make some small changes, you will be overall healthier and happier. And, you know, that is the very first piece. How can I help myself? Just like I did. How can I help myself? You know, what can I do to help me?
Yeah, because that's not being selfish at all. That's actually, that's like the most generous thing you could do for the rest of the world, is to take care of yourself, because you treat other people the way that you take care of yourself. But you did point out something really important that I don't necessarily think people who aren't doctors naturally go to, because I do think doctors tend to be put up on a pedestal. So I think it is an important reminder that we're all humans with brains. Nobody's superior to the other. A doctor is doing their job, gained a lot of knowledge, has been practicing. So you kind of have to, that's why you can't just rely on the doctor either, right? You went to the doctors and you did all the things and it wasn't working for you. So you had to have the initiative to figure out what was going to help you get well.
Yeah, I really like more of a team approach. You know, even when I was practicing radiology and I had my technologists and my assistants and my transcriptionists and my front desk people and the greeters, and I just think it's a team, right? And it's how I feel in terms of patients and doctors. Like, we're just a team and we're working together to figure out the problem and to, you know, get rid of it.
Yeah, and the patient is part of that team, really important part of that team. So you have to be at your best. Not that you're always at your best when you go to a doctor, but I think we got the point across for what we were trying to say. But since we still have a little time, and I'm going to let you give your final words of wisdom at the end, but one of the reasons I mentioned that it took us so long to get our podcast recorded was because I got COVID. Mm-hmm. And you actually have had COVID also.
Yeah.
And we talked about, I just think it's for whoever is listening who thinks that COVID, you know, because they have the vaccine, isn't as such a big deal anymore. It felt like a really big deal when I was sick for 6 weeks with it. So just kind of, I just want to touch on that, because the brain fog, mm-hmm. I think, is the scariest part. As a person who's trying to run a business, and you as a physician, when we're trying to communicate and talk and send our message, it's really kind of scary. So I just want to reassure all those people out there who have COVID and brain fog right now that it can go away.
Yeah, it does go away. I, like you, had COVID, and the vaccine helps us so that we don't die from COVID, right? It doesn't mean we won't get COVID, just like the flu vaccine. It doesn't mean you won't get the flu. You just hopefully won't get as bad of a case. So the vaccine is not necessarily preventing us from getting the virus. It's just getting a less deep version of it so that we don't die from it. Most of the people that die from COVID did not have vaccines. So yes, one of the side effects of COVID is a very scary one. Like you mentioned, it's brain fog, and I had it as well. I had it so bad, like my family was going on a trip and I was actually presenting at a conference at the end of this particular week my family was going, and I was virtual and I was planning on doing it when I was away from my computer. And it was for an Ivy League institution. And I had to send my family without me because I couldn't even think straight. And I spent like 3 days trying to put this talk together, and I just had so much difficulty. And by the end of the week, the day before I was to give the talk, I was starting to feel a little bit better. My family was gone. They'd already left. I looked at my slides and they made no sense. They were in order, like as if somebody just took all the PowerPoint slides and let them shuffle and fall into whatever place they wanted. And I had to redo all of it and put everything into the order that made sense. That's how bad my brain fog was. Now, the good news is the talk went really well. The brain fog went away over time. And I did end up meeting up with my family for the second half of the trip. But like you said, let's normalize this. Anybody out there that may be scared that has brain fog, just know that it's very common. I don't know the numbers, but I know a lot of people have had it and it does go away.
Yeah. And like Eckhart says, Eckhart Tolle, sometimes we just have to accept reality as it is in the moment and we can't change it. And that's what I learned, because I desperately wanted it to go away. And then I was like, oh, I surrender. And I just canceled all my stuff for like 3 weeks and I just rested and took care of myself. So, okay, well, we covered, I think, a lot of important information that's going to be really helpful to people today. But I want to, so is there anything else that you want to speak to around the suicide piece? Around, like, is that something that you, what's that like for you? Do you share that with people openly, or is that something like you have to decide and pick and choose who you, do you feel like you're walking around with the secret, or how does it feel to have someone that you love at such a young age when you weren't able to process it? How is that for you to talk about now in your day-to-day life?
Well, initially, you know, I felt abandoned and less than and horrible about myself and, you know, what happened. But now I just look through the lens of love and compassion, with the understanding that it had nothing to do with me. And it was just a chemical imbalance that my father was experiencing, and that his brain wasn't working properly. Like I said earlier, just like any other organ in our body. And I have no problem discussing it. I would like to make a distinction between something organic, like my father suffered from, which was a chemical imbalance, and the suicidal ideation that I was experiencing, because that is something that we can take control of and we can reverse with coaching. So a very important distinction here. Sometimes people need medication, they need psychiatrists, they need psychologists, they need mental health care professionals and hospitals and things to help them get better. But sometimes it's related to our thoughts about the situations that we've experienced that cause us to feel this way. And those times are the times that we can be active and proactive in our lives and reverse how we're feeling.
Yeah. And it's going to take me, I might have just said committed suicide, because that's a new thing that I'm learning with the language. I did the same thing in drug overdose awareness week. I learned that you don't call someone a drug addict, because that's not the sum of who they are. They're someone who is addicted to drugs. So it's all a learning experience. And my brain, even though it has the best of intentions and wants to, you know, the idea is just be open to it and slowly recognize that people are so much more than how they died or how they suffered, right? They're like a whole human being. And here your dad, when he would come home, he'd want to take you to buy you a present. I mean, when you think about what it must have been like for him, it's kind of heartbreaking, right? Because he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And what was happening and you didn't. So, so I really, really appreciate you sharing this story with all of us. And I'm so happy for you that you had the initiative to go to that yoga class, because it did really create momentum for you. And it was just like one thing after another that got you on your path to healing. And if you didn't make that decision, well, you probably would have kept seeing the yoga, so it would have kept coming back to you. Something else would have inspired you to start that journey. So do you have any final words of wisdom about anything before we go, or were you able to say everything you had to say?
Well, I would just like to let people know that if they feel anything that I'm describing today, that they're not alone and that they have their own superpowers to learn how to feel better by themselves. They just need to know what they are and not to feel badly for not knowing, because even me as a physician never learned in all of my training. It was all things that I learned after the fact. And that if you really, really are suffering, please reach out. Please reach out and get help. I want you to reach out.
Yeah, because you really can get better. It's possible.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's a great place to end it. Thank you for being here. Audience, I'm sure you learned something valuable here today. I'll see you next episode.
If you like what you heard here today, I would really appreciate it if you would follow the Rain BS podcast, do a quick review, give me 5 stars, and share it with everyone you know. You can interact with me and request topics for the podcast or to be interviewed in the podcast in the Rain BS podcast community on Facebook. You can also go to www.thebrainbs.com to sign up for the Brain BS updates and get to know me better. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast and spreading the word. Always remember, the only thing standing between you and the more fulfilling life is understanding your Brain BS and choosing to live consciously every day, all day long.